It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. New research from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says Georgia leads most states in harassment by debt collectors. Often, these are debts that people either already paid off or that they never owed to begin with. My next guest is on a mission to make sure you and your kids don't fall prey to one of those collectors or make a number of common mistakes. Beth Koblenner is the author of the new book, Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not. She's speaking in Atlanta at the Georgia Consortium for Financial Literacy. Beth, it's good to talk to you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Celeste.
I want to address that the words in parentheses in your title, even if you're not a money genius. And why do you feel the need to put that in there?
Well, you know, people feel such shame about money, fear about money. They're confused, and often rightfully so, in the sense that there have been so many changes going on when it comes to credit cards and massive student loan increases and fear of debt collectors being more aggressive, all those changes. And there have been some good regulations put into place in the last few years. But right now, there's a lot of uncertainty about how do we go forward and how do we learn the basics maybe we never learned as kids and teach that those basics to our own children. My favorite comment so far about my book is the secret is it really teaches parents what they need to know, and then they could teach their own kids, because this future generation has got to know how to handle student debts, how to save up money. Even as young as age 3, we know that kids can understand and be taught basic money concepts, and it's important to start, and you'll keep on doing it. As you know, Celeste, you have a son in college now. As your kids grow, you're going to keep on delivering these messages. But if you start young, as I know you did, you can really have an impact on the long term of your child's financial security.
Now, I do not wish in any way to downplay the role of the financial industry in the recession that we had and the housing crisis, but one of the theories was that it was financial illiteracy that helped drive that crisis. Do you buy that?
Well, partly, in the sense that, you know, the average consumer, it's just how much do we expect them to know? Do we expect somebody to know, oh, well, I could shop around and get a much better interest rate on my credit card, or the offer I get when I'm 18 in college, which used to be the case, I just signed my name. Somebody said they went to a frat party, signed their name, and they got a credit card at 18, nothing asked. Well, do you blame the person, or is it, a lot of young people think if the bank is going to give me a credit card, maybe that means I'm eligible for it. If they're going to give me a home loan, maybe they think I'm eligible. So I do think the financial industry just looked the other way and didn't pay attention to what was going on. But I do think that people need to take a look at how they handle money, how they talk about money. Simple things with kids, like when you go in the grocery store and your child says, I want that, you know, at the checkout line. Studies show if you always give in, that kid will be more likely to get troubled in debt, higher credit card debts, or have problems paying their bills. If you fight about money in front of your kids, that has a negative impact down the road. So the book talks about very specific tips for kids of all ages. Open a bank account with your kid. Make sure they realize, even though the interest rate isn't great, maybe you could shop around for an online bank. It's not huge, scary conversations. It's just simple, teachable moments and making the most of those. I really think that's why I named it, you know, Make Your Kid a Money Genius, because this is sort of basic stuff. It's not super hard, but people don't talk about it. And if your kid knows this, he'll certainly or she'll certainly have a leg up.
But it isn't just lack of knowledge that keeps people from talking to their kids. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. One of the big reasons people do not educate their kids about money is because for whatever reason, we feel ashamed. We feel guilty
right.
about money. And so we see the topic of money as a dirty topic. How do you break
exactly.
through that?
Well, I think first acknowledging the fact that studies show the number one influence on a child's financial behaviors is their parents. So you have to say, okay, well, I'm going to have to do this. Schools aren't teaching it. Very few states, you know, a modest number of states require any kind of personal finance education. And even in those cases, we don't know how prepared the teachers feel to actually offer it. So you're going to have to do it as the parent. You're going to have to, you know, throw off any financial baggage you have. Because look, I've had so many people say to me, oh, I'm really bad about money because my parents were bad about money. And then I have other people say to me, oh, I'm really bad about my money because my parents were too good with money. They were so frugal. I want to live my life and enjoy it. So whatever your story
either way,
is,
it's the parents' fault.
Exactly. It always is. Come on. But I do think that it can be, you have to put that aside and then realize, hey, you know, I can get this very basic information and pass it along to my kid. I could teach my kid, for example, waiting is a good thing. We wait for the swings. We wait for our birthday. We're going to wait and save up money to get that Lego set or the Shopkins that you really, really want. And or giving your kid allowance. I mean, that's always a big one, whether you should or shouldn't. And I looked at, you know, dozens of research studies all over the world. And the answer is it doesn't really matter if you give a kid an allowance or not. What matters is being consistent. If you tell your kid, OK, I'm going to pay for your basics, food and clothes, but you have to pay for your own entertainment. And then suddenly, oh, but all my friends are going to the movies. Can you please help me out? And you give in, then you're not sort of setting up the boundaries you want to set. So I say as a parent, really think through. Don't overpromise or be so stringent that you can never keep up with it. But talking to your kids about money, talking in ninth grade about college coming, you know, and saying, look, this is something we're in together. We're a family. Don't stress out about it in front of your kid. And I'm going to, you know, raid my 401k for your, you know, school. But talking about, we're looking into financial aid. And in my book, I go through step by step what to do in ninth grade and 10th grade to figure out financial aid, because it is a big process, but you must fill out those financial aid forms. And the more you educate yourself, I promise it becomes less stressful as a family. You can figure out what schools you can afford, what kind of aid you can get, how you set up your child's expectations, and talking about it, understanding it. You know, we have scripts for sex. We know how to talk about drugs and alcohol. There's studies that have been done and the best ways to do it. We don't have the money script when it comes to talking to our kids. And I feel like now more than ever, that's so important.
Right. I'm talking to Beth Koblenner. She's the author of the new book, Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not. Beth speaks tomorrow in Atlanta. So what is the most common mistake that an 18-year-old makes? Is it college debt? Is it a credit card? What is it?
Right. I think 18-year-olds nowadays, the good news is in 2009, the CARD Act was passed. So you can't get a credit card anymore just by signing your name at age 18. You have to be 21 years old, or you have income or a parent cosign. I would say the biggest mistake parents make is they cosign that credit card for their kid at 18, and then when their kid messes up, their credit, the parents' credit, gets into trouble. So I would say that's a definite no for parents. I think young people in college get to college, and there's so much that's overwhelming. You and I both have college freshmen, and it's very overwhelming, and their classes, and they're all new things to get used to. And I think if a parent, for example, gives a kid a debit card, which is pretty common, they say, you know, just use this for emergencies, because you have your food paid for, your health care is paid for, just use this money for emergencies. And suddenly, like, pizza in the middle of the night becomes an emergency. Or sending your best friend a birthday present, FedEx, because you forgot it, is an emergency. I have several friends who came home and said their kids said, somebody hacked my account. And their mom said, what? And they're like, let's go over the bills together. Oh, did you travel to D.C. on a train to see your friend? Oh, yeah. Did you go out to lunch? Oh, yeah. Like, explaining to kids that money is something that you get, you have cash with money, you use cash, but you also use debit or credit. And that's real money too. And that's going to come out of the account. And that means the account balance gets lower. And even kids who are super smart in math and AP calculus, I see they have trouble understanding how to manage, you know, to budget, to stay within a budget, buy books on discount, do things that will save their money, because the college years are not big saving years, but they should not be big spending years either.
So I know that you've seen this research showing that the average American couldn't cover a $400 emergency if it arose without borrowing money. Mm. Why? I mean, that would mean that the average American is not secure financially.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's a problem. How did we get here?
I think the financial insecurity started decades ago. And I would say that, you know, they're used to, one part is education. We used to teach in the turn of the century, they taught economics to kids and personal finance in math classes. You'd learn math, but you'd also learn how to, you know, make everything from, you know, making change and budget and check, check writing and all that. You know, the next, then they put personal finance in home economics. So you'd learn how to, you know, sew. I learned how to sew a dashiki in seventh grade in the 80s. But I also, you know, also we would learn the basics of money. That was gone pretty soon after that. And so now nobody teaches this topic. And on top of all that, today, young children don't see a dad or mom sitting down at the, you know, kitchen counter paying the bills. I remember my dad having a check register and writing the bills. We just see buttons being pressed and cards being swiped. And young people, really, I mean, they were realizing, I spoke to a group of Girl Scouts who are super smart. But when I said, "What is it better to play with a credit card or cash?" Many of them said, "Oh, it's better to play with a credit card. It's easier," without thinking through the idea that, yeah, but if you don't pay it off, you're going to pay lots and lots of interest. So I think the credit card problem, I think student loans increasing so quickly, the for-profit colleges, which the previous administration really try to go after and make sure that they become more responsible. I'm worried about students getting into all this debt in college and then not being able to get a job to pay it back. I think there are a lot of issues that have led to where we are now and why people feel so financially secure. So I feel like if you're a parent
and you're
worried
insecure,
about,
you mean?
So financially insecure, the insecurity of about money, about how to save, is it even possible? How do I have a little bit set aside for retirement? How do I have health care? You know, that's going to be a question now we're talking about more and more, and what changes are in the way. And I feel like the uncertainties make it clear that we have to talk, first educate ourselves, and then Make Your Kid a Money Genius. I have a whole chapter on what parents need to know for themselves. But it's really a book that you read to learn about the basics of compound interest and, you know, how, what kind of card is good for your child in college and what kind is good for you. And investing, maybe the idea of how can you put a little bit away. You know, those great examples of 25 cents a day. If you put it away by the time you're, you know, 65 for a kid and they start at age 10, they could have $50,000. Just the magic of numbers and giving anecdotes to kids to sort of make it clear to them, to make it clear to them that saving and investing and staying out of debt is critical. And they can do it. And you can teach them with teachable moments.
That's Beth Koblenner. She's the author of the book, Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not. She speaks at noon tomorrow in Atlanta. It is free of charge. Beth, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste. It's so great to talk to you.